Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. Last week, when we went through dynasty values, I mentioned getting back to weekly advice in the future, but because it's been such an unpredictable season, I think it could be valuable to focus on potential trade options from a real-life perspective that could be buy-low candidates for fantasy owners. This is basically focused on the Chiefs following the knee injury to Rashee Rice, but I think it could definitely be helpful to buy low on a pass catcher that could end up in Kansas City if they decide to make a trade. The analysis here first appeared in our Wolf Sports Weekly newsletter. We have a commentary corner every week in the newsletter, which is essentially premium advice, but given for free because the newsletter is 100% free. So if you're interested in subscribing, go to newsletter.wolfsports.com. But for those not subscribed or that maybe haven't read it this week, I'll go through the potential targets for Kansas City if they trade for a wideout. Because again, I think this could be valuable advice considering the value boost from a fantasy perspective that pass catchers would get by going to the Chiefs and playing with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's offense. So the guy with the most upside that I think would have wide receiver one value if he ends up in Kansas City and is also a realistic target with the Browns at 1-3 would be Amari Cooper. Cooper has a very tradable contract and he would see quite a bit of single coverage on the outside. So Cooper has big-time upside if he were to go to the Chiefs and is someone worth considering as a buy-low target that can go from an up-and-down wide receiver 2 to a legitimate wide receiver 1. And he's a veteran that shouldn't have issues picking up the offense or building chemistry with Mahomes. The other big target I would say is Deontay Johnson, who has gotten a boost from Andy Dalton being under center for the Panthers, but he'd see even more value in Andy Reid's offense catching passes from Mahomes. Unlike Cooper, Johnson, I don't think, would have wide receiver 1 value if he were traded, but he has a different skill set than Cooper and would have some inside-out versatility and can do some of the things that Rashee Rice does. So Johnson's value is pretty high right now, considering what he's done the past two games, but maybe hope he has a quiet performance this week against the Bears in a tougher matchup, and he's a definite real-life trade candidate if the Panthers lose to go to 1-4. The other three guys I don't think would have the same kind of weekly value, but they would certainly see a boost. First would be DeAndre Hopkins, the biggest name of the final three. I don't think anyone would argue he has as much left in the tank as Amari Cooper, but he's another veteran that would have an easy time transitioning to a new team, and he would have plenty of touchdown upside to give him a nice weekly ceiling. I don't want to go too deep into the analysis since these are hypotheticals, but considering the calls that the Chiefs get or don't get, a physical receiver like Hopkins, who separates at the catch point with physicality, might even be allowed to be more physical if he's playing for the Chiefs, and he's available in quite a few leagues despite being a big name, so certainly worth a speculative ad or going after as a buy-low target. Then the other two, Darius Slayton and John Mechie. For Slayton, the Giants probably have higher hopes for this season with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll potentially on the hot seat, but he can stretch the field and has been very consistent with underrated production for his entire career. So he's more in the mold of Amari Cooper, but a cheaper option in terms of trade compensation, both for the Chiefs and obviously your fantasy team, and would see a major uptick in terms of fantasy value if traded to the Chiefs. And for Mechie, he'd be more of a slot option and could probably do a lot of the things that the Chiefs thought they were getting from Sky Moore. So Slayton and Mechie are both likely sitting on the waiver wire, and if you're in a deeper league, they're at least worth looking into. But in general, if they don't make a move, they'll probably continue to roll with more of a committee. And I would say Juju Smith-Schuster is the most likely candidate to potentially emerge as a factor alongside Xavier Worthy at wide receiver. But for the most part, the injury to Rice will probably lead to Travis Kelce being more stable as a high-end tight end one, and the Chiefs playing through the running backs with Isaiah Pacheco coming back at some point and Kareem Hunt looking good in his debut last week. Now some quick hits for the week 5 advice. I'll go through our rankings and give some recommended plays at each position. At quarterback, we have Justin Fields as a top 3 option and Brock Purdy as a top 5 option this week. For Fields, the matchup gets a boost with Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence almost certainly out. It'll be a lot easier to run the ball when Fields gets into space without having to worry about Parsons chasing him. Fields still finished with nearly 32 fantasy points last week despite not playing that well, so his upside is worth getting in lineups for a game that has shootout potential in Dallas if the Cowboys can get going. For Purdy, he's continued to play really well, and the emergence of Juwan Jennings along with Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and George Kittle, gives San Francisco plenty of playmakers despite Christian McCaffrey still being out. So Purdy is a top five option against the Cardinals. And Geno Smith is the final guy I'll point out here. He gets a really good home matchup versus the Giants, and the connection with DK Metcalf has been much better than it was a season ago when they weren't on the same page sometimes. So Geno is a QB1, and the only concern here would be Seattle shutting down the Giants and not really airing it out. At running back, I mentioned Kareem Hunt. He's in the top 24 this week after impressing in his debut and seeing Carson Steele unfortunately lose a fumble. That opened the door for Hunt to see increased work. It seems like he'll be the feature back until Isaiah Pacheco returns. So he's an RB2 on Monday night against the Saints. A few spots above him in the top 20, we have Trey Sermon, with the expectation that Jonathan Taylor will be out. Sermon is a guy that I've liked since he came out of Ohio State, so he should be an RB2 this week if Taylor's out. And jumping up again to finish things off at running back for the Dolphins at Patriots matchup, I think you still have to trust Devon Achane and Ramondre Stevenson. Achane in particular, I don't think people will consider benching because of his upside. The next two games will be tough with Tua Tagovailoa still out, especially with Achane seeing more usage as a wide receiver. But the potential return of Raheem Mostert could be a good thing if it allows for Achane to get more touches and space. And for Stevenson, fumbles have been the issue for him, but New England signed him to a four-year extension prior to the season, and I don't think they'll be going away from him. So keep Stevenson in lineups as an RB2 against a Miami defense and team that seemed to be losing their composure on Monday night. At wide receiver, we have a couple of newcomers in the top 10. Jaden Reed, who has gone off in both games with Jordan Love healthy, is the wide receiver 9 against a very attackable Rams defense. And Amari Cooper is the wide receiver 10 against a burnable secondary for the Commanders. And for the other Green Bay wideouts, I like Romeo Doubs as the top 30 play. He hasn't had the production of Reed or Dontavian Wicks, but Doubs saw 8 targets last week, which is a good sign, and the softer matchup should allow him to shine moving forward. And Wicks we have as more of a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4, despite the big performance last week. He's a little more streaky, and certainly worth considering with Christian Watson out, but we have Reed in the top 10, and Doubs as the second guy behind him as a strong flex. And for both this week and beyond, Zay Flowers and Brian Thomas Jr. are guys that I would start this week as wide receiver 2 options and feel good about investing in long term. The Ravens will probably feed Derrick Henry as they have the past 2 weeks whenever they can, but there will be bigger games for the pass catchers in the future, and Flowers is the top guy and remains a breakout candidate despite a quiet performance last week. And Thomas was featured last week in the loss to Houston and talked up by Doug Peterson, so his arrow is definitely pointing up, and it seems the Jags will focus the passing attack around Christian Kirk and Thomas moving forward. And the other buy low target I wouldn't feel great about playing this week, but Jalen Waddle should be back in the wide receiver 2 ranks when Tagovailoa is back. So with the matchup against the Patriots this week, then a bye, then one more game that Tua has to miss, there's a big buy low window for Waddle, and teams looking good for the playoffs might want to at least check in on his trade value. And finally at tight end, I would say invest in the guys coming off injury in David Njoku and Evan Ingram that we know have significant roles in their respective offenses. Tight end has basically been a wasteland for fantasy purposes, so I like the safety of Njoku and Ingram as guys that also have upside, but you know will be weekly factors and could be had for cheaper than they should be coming off injury. And the same is true for TJ Hockenson. His return is further away, but he was extremely steady in 2023, and it makes sense to get a guy attached to a Kevin O'Connell offense, considering the state of the position. But for this week, I like Colby Parkinson. He's someone I always think will find the end zone, but the Packers are a good matchup, ranking towards the bottom of the league in fantasy points allowed to tight ends. So I'd roll with Parkinson again, and the same is true for Kyle Pitts, but this is based more on the upside. Last week, we saw the floor with 0 fantasy points, and Raheem Morris saying they don't care about stats isn't what you want to hear as a fantasy owner, but I'd bet on his ability, and I think Pitts could have a good game on Thursday night. So that will conclude this episode. As always, you can find our full rankings and analysis on wolfsports.com, and if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, feel free to reach out with any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Dylan Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.